Turn your living room into a joyful, hands-free playroom with Cocomelon Sing and Play with JJ. Your child sings, moves, and learns right alongside JJ and friends, all on the big screen. It's designed thoughtfully to spark speech, rhythm, and coordination through songs and active play. Try an ad-free, safe, and interactive way to make screen time part of their learning and growth. Parents love how easy it is, voice-controlled and frustration-free. Kids love every moment of singing, laughing, and playing along. It's fun for them, and it's feel-good for you. Available now in the Volley app on your smart TV. Just search Volley in your TV's app store and start your free trial of Cocomelon Sing and Play with JJ today. That's Cocomelon Sing and Play with JJ. Available now in the Volley app on your smart TV. Search Volley and start your free trial today.
Volley.
Welcome back to Fostering Faith. My name is Tracy Foster, and I am here in my most favorite place with one of my best friends, Nicole. And so we have an episode for you today. As we have been walking just through life together about friendship and generosity, showing up in the hard seasons. And so welcome back. If you've never been here, my name is Tracy Foster. I am your host for Fostering Faith. And if it feels like your life is a little bit upside down, a little messy, and you're trying to love Jesus while figuring out what to cook for dinner, you're in the right place.
And I'm Nicole, and same. If your friendships are complicated, your group chat has been silent for weeks, or you're feeling like nobody sees you in your hard season, buckle up. This episode is for you.
And today we're going to be honest about something that we all, I think, that we walk through. Hard parts of friendship, showing up when it's uncomfortable, being generous when it actually costs you something, and loving people whenever you're at your lowest, they're at their lowest, and even whenever we don't know what to say.
Right. And we're going to bring the Bible to back it up. So buckle up. We're going to talk theology, some real pain stuff, and a whole lot of Jesus. And I'll probably be the one providing the humor today, because let's be real, Tracy's deep, but she's not always that funny.
Excuse me, I am hilarious. I laugh at myself all the time, but also fair. I am more of a serious type of person. I do laugh at my own jokes, and so I do laugh a lot. And so, all right, so let's start with this. And so what does the Bible actually say about friendship? Because spoiler alert, it's not about being nice. It's about a covenant. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, not convenience, adversity.
Right. It's about a covenant love, like the Hebrew word ahava, which is love. It's loyal and it's enduring. It's a deep kind of love, the kind of love that costs you something. It's echoed through all of Scripture, right? It's shown in Ruth and Naomi. It's shown in Jonathan and David, even Jesus and his disciples.
But I don't want you to miss this. And so in that verse, adversity isn't a glitch. It's proving ground. You know, whenever you're with people and not whenever things are easy, but then things are falling apart and they stay away. And so whenever you're looking at love, we know that there's three different types of love in Scripture. We have agape love, we have phileo love, we have eros love. And so as we are looking at that type of agape love and that love that only God has for us, do you feel like a person could have, what kind of love do you feel like you have for most of your friendships?
Lots of friendships that I have are maybe surface level friendships. I don't know that, transparently, that I have a lot of friendships that would be ahava love, like love that costs me something, right? I mean, I have family. I have a good close circle of friends. I don't know. Bounce that question back to you. How do you feel in your life?
I mean, and so I think that there is, I think that we have phileo love. And so if you go back into Scripture and you can see what he said, do you love me? You know, whenever he's talking to Paul and he's like, do you love me? After he denied him three times. And he was like, you know, I love you. But whenever you look back into the Greek and Hebrew, it's phileo love. It's brotherly love. He didn't have agape love. And so I think that to have a friendship of a phileo love, that same type of love that Jesus and Paul had for each other, I do feel like, we need to start actually loving people
It's sacrificial love, though, right? Like, it's a love that costs you something. Can you say that you have lots of friendships that are like that?
I don't want lots of friendships. I have my tribe, and I don't need much more. But I will love you where you're at. I'm going to love sure. you. But as far as sacrificial love, I think that maybe we need to be better at that.
Oh, I don't disagree. I think that there are opportunities, though, that we show sacrificial love to people without knowing that we do it, right? Because that's just who we are and how we live.
Like, it's built in.
Yeah. Through generosity, through servant.
A servant heart. Well, yeah. And I think, too, that whenever a friendship gets hard, you can pack up your bags and walk away. But
that's life, right?
You're like, you're maybe a little crazy for me. I'm out. Or they go through something and you stick by them and allow them to see what real love is. And so if they've never had a friendship where they've, broken up or, things went awry, and we're not saying stay in toxic relationships, but, going toe to toe with somebody and like, I'm here for the long haul. Like, I love you. We're in this together. It's the friendships that last for yeah. decades.
So that kind of leads us into like, what do you do when someone you love is just really going through it, right? Depression, sickness, divorce, financial struggle, like all those things, custody battles, like you have no idea what to say or what to do for them. So what do you do when someone you love is going through that?
I mean, so you show up. You don't wait until it's the perfect words. Because love doesn't need a script. Sometimes love is just a knock on the door and you sit on the couch. I mean, it's you just show up and you cry together. It's that you show up and you're just like, you don't need to say anything.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to lay in bed with you.
Yeah. I love the scripture reference and the story of the book of Job and how Job just, man, he was in a valley. I mean, he was in the thick of it, in the down, and lost everything, lost literally everything, right? And Job 2:13 says that his friends, like his people, sat with him for 7 days and didn't say a word because they saw how great his suffering was.
I mean, exactly. And so, that's called theology in presence. And so sometimes in your presence, in your ministry, that's your ministry. Like, your presence is your ministry. Your silence is your ministry. Sometimes just being there, holding a hand, or a text message, I'm here, and whenever you're ready, that's whenever God can use that to break through that despair, to just be like, you know what? Silence is also sometimes the best medicine. And so just you being there, or if you have a fight with your kid, or like there's words and like the door is slammed, and you simply just sit outside the door. So whenever they open up that door, you're there. Mm-hmm. And, we're going through hormonal situations, at home. And, I could see that she was going through something and she was mad, and she went and she slammed, the door, and because she doesn't know how to express all the things that she's feeling. And so I let her stew for a second and I just walked in. I walked into her room and sat on her bed and just stared at her and just looked at her, and she just broke down and she wept and she cried. And at the end of the conversation that we walked through, she was just like, you came, you didn't say anything, but just knowing that you were here for me, that meant a lot.
Yeah, that's so good. I think so many times, even just a hug makes all the difference. You don't have to say anything, right? Emotions are real and they're big, but they're also our reaction. And so I think there's always a deeper root, right? So trying to just get to what that deeper root is. I hurt your feelings. Okay, I understand. You're angry, you're frustrated, you're whatever, but there's something deeper happening here. So just trying to like dig and chip away at what that looks like.
And I mean, a hug is the best medicine sometimes. For I mean, sure. A smile is great. A hug. We have patients that come in the office, and at the end of their visits, they're like, I'm not leaving without a hug. Like, this is what I come for. Like, you say great things, but like your hugs mean like the world to me. And it's just like, some people don't know what a hug feels like. They have no one in their life to love on them, love them deep. We've had several people that have come in, and I tell every new patient that they are loved because they are loved. In my office, they are loved. And I mean, I've had people cry in my office because they've never been told that.
Well, to be honest, I mean, the world tells us exact opposite of that, right? The world loves to hate and loves to spew negativity and just ugliness. So what does it hurt to love people, right?
It causes you to actually break down walls. It creates a place of vulnerability, and we are not a society of where we want to be vulnerable. We want to do all the things. And we came back from Mexico with your daughter, and I said, I love the fact that everybody, like, there was a family that everybody just walked up and kissed and hugged, and like, you know, like they were just having breakfast. They all left the same room, and then they're walking in. I'm like, and so I told you that, I'm like, I think that we need to start like walking up to people. I'm like, oh my gosh, how are you? And just like giving you a kiss and hug and just like being more like generous with our affection and our time and how we respond to people. I mean, so your generosity of your love and your time to me is more precious than money. I mean, yeah. I tell the kids that in youth all the time, what is the most precious gift that you have? Your time.
For sure.
Your time is and how you give that and how that spills out into the generosity, because kids don't have money. They got time. They got talent. True.
Well, let's flip the script for a second and talk about generosity. Like, we live in a world where we think that generosity pretty much only means money, but generosity isn't just money. I mean, like you said, it's giving whatever it is that you have. Those kids don't have a lot of money. Well, some of them don't, right? They're too young. They don't have our kids, they're not old enough to have jobs. So they don't, if they have money, it's mom's money.
Yes. And I have, and so, yes. And they don't have money because they're not willing to work for that money.
Well, also true.
Yes. And so, yeah, you don't have to have $1 million to be generous. You have time, you give time. You have, if you don't have that margin, you give it. And so whenever you're talking about like, all I got is a casserole, then give the casserole. I mean, if you have generosity in showing up to serve, God can use whatever you are willing to show up with. It doesn't have to be magical or special. You have a talent that no one else has. I mean, so God will use that if you let him. And so it's not about being stingy with like, I only have. No, you have an amazing casserole in your fridge. You have an amazing talent to show up whatever it is. And so God can use whatever you're willing to show up with.
Yeah, the book of James is a good explanation. James 2, 15 through 16 says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but you don't do anything, you do nothing, then what good is it? You just tell people to kind of go figure it out. What good is that, right? That's not generosity. It's kind of avoidance, just wrapped up in spiritual words.
I mean, yeah, you don't need to say more Christian things. We need to be more Christian like. We need to do more Christian like things.
Yeah, and so, that's good.
And so action. And so you can say all the Christianese, I think is what they say it.
Yeah.
But we need to do more Christian, Christ like things. And so our whole objective is to be a mirror image of Christ. So it really is about not like, oh yeah, that's great that you don't have food, but there's a food pantry there, but I'm not willing to give you a ride to go get it. Right. I mean, if you have a vehicle, that's generosity. That's about giving people rides. That's, you know, that's showing your love in that love language.
What about those situations though, where you are doing those things or you feel like you are, right? You feel like you're being generous. You feel like you're praying a lot. They say pray constantly. That almost feels impossible as a human, but you know, you feel like you're doing all the things, but the situation doesn't change. What you're praying for, it just doesn't get better. Like what about when God feels silent?
And those, I think, are the moments of even if we don't get this. And so it says, you know, he is out of our time spectrum. And so we're down here saying that we've been praying for 20 years, but it's been 20 seconds to him. We've been saying that we've been down here for, you know, a decade doing this. And he's like, no, it's been 5 seconds. I'm out of your time schedule. This is, my ways are greater than your ways. My timeline is not of your timeline. I have perfect timing. I'm seeing everything. And we have to remember that even if God doesn't, he is still great. And so it is about having those hands that worship. And, you know, as everyone is singing the hard hallelujah, you know, it is about those times whenever you feel like God is not there, he is there. That is the lie the enemy wants to tell you. And so you know that he is at your right side, because he says that I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am right here at your right hand. I love you. And so whenever that enemy twists the little bit of truth that you have, we know what he says, and we know that he is faithful. We know that he is the same God that he was today, that he was yesterday. And whenever we have that opportunity to praise changes the atmosphere, and it changes you. And so we have to go into, even if God doesn't, that's where we have to dig in.
Yeah, I think that's like a true Christian friendship, right? Is like just reminding the other person who's in this icky situation or feeling or season, whatever you want to call it, like, even if it feels like God's doing nothing, I'm still here. Even if your son, daughter, cousin, brother, aunt, mom, whoever doesn't come back to faith, like, I'm still praying for that. I'm still expectant. I still know that God is good and that he's going to, you know, see this through. Even when, you know, like you just talked about time on earth is so ridiculous compared to God's time. Like, we put this on a 24-hour daily schedule of like, I need this to happen by 3 p.m. on Thursday. And if it doesn't, then, you know, the world is going to end. But it's his timing, right? It's his schedule. And so even when we're in seasons that feel like it lasts longer than we expect it to.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Or we put him on a timer, then, you know, we're still showing up. We're still being present with those people.
Yeah, and that's where the even if, you know, theology kicks in. And, you know, we remember in Daniel 3 when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they say, our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, we will not bow. And so they were deeply rooted in, even if, no, I'm 10 toes in. Like, I am 10 toes in this friendship. I'm not going to let you give up. I'm not going to let you do, you know, what you say that you want to give me your goals, but then you don't want to do anything to, you know, put forth those goals, you know, even if. And so having that mindset of, even if God doesn't, I'm going to be that friend too that's going to stand in the intercessory for you. Even if you don't show up for life, I'm going to pray for you.
Yeah.
Even if you don't show up for yourself, I'm going to be the friend that says, this is what scripture says.
Well, in these Bible stories, like this Daniel 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's such a popular story. Most people probably know at least some of it, but I always like to like think about that moment, about what would that look like, right? So what would that look like if Meshach and Abednego weren't there and it was only Shadrach in the fire? Would he, without having good people around him, like, were they there to be the encouragers? Like, we don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us, right? Mm-hmm. And Shadrach wasn't there by himself. But I just like to think about that. Like, if it were just one of them, and, you know, would the story still be the same? Do you think that maybe Meshach and Abednego, or vice versa, maybe Shadrach and Abednego, or whoever, mm-hmm. you know, kind of encouraged and was like, no, like, God's going to show up. No, we can face this fire. No, you know? Just kind of encouraging each other.
Well, and I think that we have mentioned it so many times on this podcast, is that you are who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's so many, like, even studies that are out there that prove, like, you know, find your closest 3 to 5 friends, and that's where you're going to go. And so if you have people that are believing in what you're believing for, they're going to, you know, iron sharpens iron. And so if you have people that you're hanging around with that do not have 10 toes in faith, yes, you can help maybe sharpen them. But if they're going to be like, no, bro, like, that's no, like, he's not going to show up. Like, you know, you have to have people that you surround yourself with that you guys are kind of going in that same direction. And we were meant for community. We were meant to surround ourselves with people and to love people and love people hard, and just show the love that God gave us. And so he fills us up. And so we fill up the others. And so gospel is an action. And so because God didn't give up on us whenever we didn't, you know, change fast, he stayed, he pursued, and he died for us while we were still all sinners, you know. And I'm in Romans right now. I read through Romans and went through kind of the older Newer Testament, but I'm like, I got to go back and revisit that Romans, because there's so much in Romans, I think, that we can just glean on and really dive in and really kind of get that spiritual discipline to know where to go to in scripture, to re-fall in love with Christ every day. And I think that friendships need spiritual discipline too.
Well, yeah, I think friendship is a spiritual discipline, right? I mean, it's not just something that you fall into. It's something that you have to you have to farm it. You have to plow the ground, right? You have to be intentional in friendships and forgive each other and hold each other accountable and pray for one another. Like, there's a lot more that goes into a friendship than just checking a box to say like, yep, I'll be your friend.
I mean, absolutely. And listen, and so the early church didn't grow because of flashy sermons and cool stages and lights. It grew because people loved other people radically. I mean, you have Acts 2:45 that says, you know, they sold their possessions and gave to everyone who had need. And so, I mean, whenever you're in a friendship, you have to have that, like, you know, you have to have that time. I mean, just like you need your time with Christ, you need your time with your best friends to grow and mature that relationship. I mean, so if it's discipline and saying, hey, we're going to have a friend date night every Friday in your shop, then that's what we're going to do. And you show up for each other and you can have, you know, that session of talking, you know, because texting just eats through my brain.
You're so good at that, though. Like, you're so good at being an intentional friend. That's something that I struggle with, which I think our love languages are way different. So I think that also plays into a little bit of that. But that's something that you're really good at, is being an intentional friend, is finding the time, carving the time in, whether that means you're driving half an hour to my house or, you know, stopping by the shop because I'm at work. But you're really good at that.
But also that's also too, I think, because to love a friendship, to love a person, you have to meet them where they're at. You have to meet them and be willing to go out of your way. Yeah, I can sit at home on my couch and just be with my family, but it's about, like, I've not seen her this week. I need to talk to her. We need to see about her, how her week is. We, you know, what can I add to the prayer list this week? You know, and so to show someone, to show up, to me, is showing love.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I mean, to me, if I show up in person, that's better than a text message.
Well,
that's better.
It's your presence, right? Because, I mean, every time you come into the place, whether expectant or unexpected, I leave feeling higher, right? I leave blessed because of your presence. Your presence matters.
But I think that's, you know, I think that's where that iron sharpens iron, because I think that's how, you know, if opposites do attract, because as you are the funner one out of this conversation,
you can say that again.
You know, I think that we balance, we're balanced.
Sure.
And so does that mean that we are polished Christians? Absolutely not. Are we growing in our faith? Are we maturing in our faith? Are we encouraging each other? Are we edifying each other?
Good word.
And so it's about having those friendships that build you up. That is just, you know, you're always going to be, are always going to have a cheerleader in your corner. Now,
yeah.
And are we going to correct each other if one of us have a real dumb idea?
Well, that's part of it though, right? Like, holding each other accountable. I mean, that's part of it.
Yes. And it's, I think that the forgiveness, it's about, like, you know, forgiving people that show up late.
Oh, that wasn't a dig or anything.
It's about having that intentionality, but also knowing that you have someone in your corner, that you have an intercessor that is praying for you, praying for your family, praying for wisdom and protection and guidance, and that you're walking through tough seasons and knowing that, the grace and mercy that God has given you, you're extending out to that friend, because we're not perfect. We're not.
Man, there's no better feeling though, you know, to wake up in the morning, you open your eyes. I go to the bathroom immediately and then go to my Bible or whatever devotional for the day. But there's no better feeling than me being able to pray to God for other people, right? To specifically pray over you and your family, but also to know that while I'm doing those things, that I'm also receiving those things, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what a Christian friendship should look like. We're praying for each other.
Well, and that's what we had talked about that in class the other day. It was just like, you know, we were talking about Proverbs and, you know, just mothers that just pray for their kids. And one of the kids said that they didn't think that they got prayed for. And I'm like, you've lost your mind. I said, I pray for you every day. I may not be your mom, but I am your spiritual mom. And I said, you are covered in prayer before your feet hit the floor in the morning. Please yeah. know this. And I mean, his little eyes lit up. Like he just saw, he was like, and he couldn't believe that someone else was praying for him. I just think that the discipline of praying for those that may not have other people praying for, and the discipline of showing up to God every day, showing up before your feet hit the floor, that you are in prayer. And so if you're listening right now and you feel like you don't have that kind of friend, I want to say to you, God sees you. He's not forgotten you. And we have Proverbs 18:24 that says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's Jesus. Yeah. I mean, so not only is he our Heavenly Father, not only is he our Abba, not only is he is our friend. He is the savior of you. And he is right there. He's never left you. You are never alone. Please, please, please hear my heart. You are not alone.
Yeah, so I love giving practical tips. It's like my favorite thing to do is something that you can actually tangibly go and do to be a better friend, right? Or to try to be the practical ways to be a better friend. Number one is just text them. Like, reach out to somebody. Surely after listening to this podcast, somebody has kind of crossed your mind. And what a blessing it would be for you to reach out to them and just say, hey, I'm going to pray for you this week. Or, hey, I'm praying for your kiddo this week. But then don't stop there. Don't just text and say, I'm going to do it. Like, actually take the time to actually pray for them, right? Drop off groceries at somebody's house. That's a great, great thing. I would love it if somebody would just drop a gallon of milk off at my house randomly. That would be incredible. Actually, I saw, and I think I told you about it a while back. There was a Facebook thing that kept circulating about grief groceries. And it was like this beautiful friendship to where the friend had someone pass away. And the other friend kept saying, like, what can I do? How can I help? You know, and when you're in that season, you don't know. You don't know how to answer. You're just hurting, right? And so the other friend just literally bought groceries. They had no idea what the friend needed, just bought the essentials and dropped them off. And it circulated Facebook, and it was called Grief Groceries. And it was just the sweetest thing. What about inviting someone like into your messy, right? Into the life that doesn't look Instagram perfect. Like, how about just allowing somebody to come over knowing your house is a flipping mess? That's okay. It's okay. It's lived in. It's not dirty, right? Not filthy. Or what about not saying, like, let me know if you need something. That's one of my, I try not to do that. I try so bad. Like, because people aren't going to let you know, right? Most people aren't going to reach out and let you know what they need. But instead, just offer something specific. Hey, can I pick your kid up from practice today? Take a burden off of the other person.
And remember this. And so you're thinking, like, what's a text going to do? What is dropping off a gallon of milk going to do? Your little act of faithfulness may be the answer to someone's desperate prayer. You don't underestimate the ministry of a meal, of a walk, of a hug, of a voicemail at just the right time. If God has put a name on your heart or whatever, please just reach out. I mean, there's so many times that, like, randomly, even just this week, a person's name just randomly kind of showed up in my heart. And so I just reached out immediately because I've learned my lesson not to listen to God. And so I reached out. I said, hey, your name randomly came on my heart. Are you okay? And she said, nope, just you being you, another answer to my prayer, because I was in prayer last night about this, and, you know, and you show up whenever I need validation from God. So, nope, you did your job. Thanks. And so it really is. And so just a simple text. Hey, how are you? Your name is on my heart. And so please, or hey, you want to go for a walk? Hey, you look like you need a hug. And like we talked about before, a hug can be the best medicine. And a voicemail, just to hear someone's voice.
We just talked about that yesterday. Actually, I have a lot of saved voicemails from people just so I have them. And I was just talking to Grandpa Ron yesterday, and he said, well, how far back to those texts or do those voicemails go? And I said, 2013. Like, I have voicemails saved from 2013 on my phone of him just asking how my day was. And he was just calling to check in. But it's things that I want to keep and I want to remember.
I have Snapchats of my grandma. And like, they are like the best memories. I love them. And so Gia can still hear her voice. And, but yeah, and then they can go back to that voice message that says, I love you. Mm-hmm. I'm here for you. And so whenever they're feeling lonely at 2 o'clock in the morning and they don't want to call you, they can like turn on that voice message and just be like, I am loved. Mm-hmm. I am seen.
Yeah, for sure. Relationships, friendships, it's hard. It's messy. It's dealing with people, right? Generosity is costly. Loving people through their worst seasons is just not glamorous, but it's kingdom, right? It's what Jesus modeled.
Yeah. I mean, so let's be those people. Let's love like it matters. Let's show up even when it's inconvenient and you have to drive the 30 minutes. You have to do the things you have to carry. Let's carry the gospel and not just in sermons. What about loving one another?
Yeah. And, you know, just remember that we're not alone. Like, God is with us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. And when we show up for other people, then God shows up through us.
And you know what? You're loved. We love you guys. We want you to keep fostering your faith. We want to keep your friendships growing. And we want to pray for you for next week. And so we hope that you guys have enjoyed this episode. We want you to keep living, keep even if gospeling and allowing those people that need to be in your life, get a closer connection, love hard, love when it's inconvenient, and make that trip to town, make that extra phone call, make that text. Allowing people to not feel alone. Would you like to close us out in prayer?
Yeah. Until next time. So give somebody a reason to believe that love is still alive in this world. Father, thank you for the opportunity to just speak life over each other, but also over those who are listening to this podcast. Thank you for encouraging friendships that are in my life. Thank you that you are good and you are loyal and that you are just a God who can encourage and build us up. God, I pray over every person listening to this podcast now that if there's someone out there feeling like, you know, they're a burden or they're alone or they just can't walk through this life anymore without some help, that you would just send the right person, the right words to them that would just lift their spirits and allow them to walk a little bit lighter because of your hope, because of your joy, because you have given that conversation to us. Thank you for all that you are and all that you continue to provide. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. And so thank you so much for tuning in this week. We love you guys. Have a great week and we will see you next week. Bye.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.